Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I love worshiping Jesus. There's so much that happens when we open up our hearts to Him. There's so much that takes place in the spirit realm when we connect with heaven. You know, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do in heaven. And what does that mean? And as we were worshiping, I watched how people, you know, they came in with their thing, their problem, their way, and they softened like butter that's been sitting out all day on a hot summer day. That is what the presence does. That is what worship does. It allows us to become second nature in the natural to the greater nature, which is supernatural. And heaven invades earth, and we are transformed. Now, you can't manufacture that, but you can yield to whatever He wants to do. And I love how hungry everyone is in this room. And I love what He's doing in the earth. And I love how we get a choice. We get a choice to slow it down and bring it back. Lord, here I am again. Teach me. Lord, here I am again. I just want to worship You. Lord, I don't understand that scripture. What are You talking about? Zealots. What are those? See, it's the Father's great pleasure to teach His children. And for so long, I don't know how it happened, but it became program. It became a way. It became the thing to do. God's not a thing to do. It's you can't check Him off your list. Okay, done. He's eternal, everlasting, always alive. In fact, He's the creator of everything. And all He wants is some time to sit in fellowship and teach us and help us grow into who He is. Did I just say that? Yes. We are made in the image of Christ. Now, I can feel the charge. I can feel the build up of the saints are cheering us on. You know, are they going to get it? Are they going to show up? Because it's the last hurrah for many of us. You know, I'm not going to go there, but I, as we were worshiping, I heard the word zealots. I'm like, what are zealots? And I kind of knew, but I didn't know. But I like, okay, when the Lord speaks something like that. And I saw a picture of the modern day church. And I was reminded, you know, I remember watching the Book of John, I think it was. I love that book. I love to watch it on DVD. And I remember watching how they were trying to get Jesus to join their team and do it their way. And isn't that a lot of what's going on today? You know, we know better. Come on my side. I feel like the Lord is revealing strategies tonight, not to punish us, but to help us walk in victory. Like, okay, maybe I am a little too opinionated about what's going on in the world. Are we getting a check? And I don't mean check out. I mean, are we getting a check? What's going on in our heart? Are we trying to push our way, our agenda? Or are we asking the Lord what His agenda is? Are we living on somebody's prophecy that was released on the internet and believing that's God's word? Now, I'm not saying that's everybody, but I think it's somebody. God wants to teach you Himself. That's why he released the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He leads and guides us into all truth. I can feel the oppression trying to push in right now because the enemy does not want this word released, and he has no hold on my mind. This will come forth because it's a word of the Lord. because it's going to help people stand strong in the hour that we're in. He took me to the book of Jude tonight while we were worshiping. I'm going to read you some things. I feel like this is for every one of us in here. I normally have my physical Bible, but I left without it tonight, so I'm forced to use technology. So in the book of Jude, he's talking about all the bad stuff. I'm going to paraphrase, but I want you all to read the book of Jude. Yeah, but it looks long on my little screen here. But so you can handle one chapter of the Bible, can't you? You want to go in? Okay, let's do it. Okay, somebody's getting a vitamin, somebody's getting a mineral, and somebody's getting a vitamin B booster shot. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James. So let's just stop right there. A slave of Jesus Christ. I am writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. I think that's us. May God give you more and more, not just once, but more and more mercy, peace, and love. I feel like we need more mercy, peace, and love right now. Lord, I receive that by faith. Big, bold letters. The danger of false teachers. Dear friends, hey, that's us. I have been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share, but now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. I'm going to back up. So he was going to write a letter and talk to him about something completely different. But he had to stop and say, okay, this is what's going on. I got to deal with this now. So instead of giving you this meatball, you're going to get a vitamin B shot. So no protein for you, just vitamin B right now. And he says, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. Well, how do you defend the faith? Weapons? Riots? Opinions? I think Jesus talked about love. Love your enemy. Bless those that persecute you. Huh? Shine? So, what happens when an enemy knocks on your door and spits in your face? They did it to Jesus. They did it to the Master. I'm just saying, God wants to arm us with spiritual arsenal instead of us responding by our flesh and pride and arrogance and our zealot behavior. This is a warning released early for the church in hopes that we get it and course correct. Do you need course correction tonight? I do. I need it every day. Left to my own devices, it's not good. I remember. So he says, some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches. Wormed. They crawled in. They didn't just boldly say, your God is a fake. Grace isn't for today. Salvation is not for you. They wormed. You ever see a worm crawl? They don't move too fast. And they blend in the earth dirt. You ever have God tell you a joke? Oh, thank you, Lord. So, let's go a little further. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us all a choice to choose life or not. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. He's created us all in his image. Some people say there's a God hole in our hearts, and he's the only one that can fill it. He gave us a choice. He gives us the Holy Spirit to encourage us to remember God's word and his righteousness. So I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt, but later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. So let's just stop right there. We know why they didn't enter the promised land. Who wants to say it? Unbelief. So, God loved his people so much, he rescues them from slavery, leads them out into the wilderness to purify them and to help them get their hearts right, takes care of them. They don't need shoes. They don't need clothes. He gives them manna, and they say, we want more. We want meat. Give us meat. You took us out here, so you could kill us. This is it. We were better off under bondage. Think of thinking. It's very similar to today. I see it all the time. I see people get rescued from the kingdom of darkness, and they're so full of the love of light, and then 2 days later, they're back in their bondage. It's no different. We're not unique. But we're also not judging that. So what does he do? He gives them quail. Now, you might think, oh, isn't God so nice he gave them quail? I think it was 3 feet high. They choked on it. It was everywhere. We're in a season of quail time. I'm just saying it. This is a season of quail. So when you're in the season, what did the spies do that spied out the land? They saw the good report. They reported that the grapes were huge. They didn't care about the giants. See, there's always provision in the kingdom of God. He will always take care of his children. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. I'm just saying, there's some towns that are very similar to this in the day we live right now. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. Now, we all know about that. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams, so these people are now claiming authority. They live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at supernatural beings. Are we here? But even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy. Well, you know what I'm saying. But simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." What did he use? The sword of the Spirit. The Lord rebuke you. He didn't use his own authority. He used the power of the Holy Ghost. He used the living word, the Lord, deal with this. When you switch from, "I'm going to get you," to, "The Lord rebuke you, the Lord, deal with this. Lord, what are you saying in this life?" That's a key for the kingdom of God, and that's how we walk in righteousness. This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. Boy, I could teach on that. But those people scoff at things they do not understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, and so they bring about their own destruction. How did they get there? How did it get to the point where they're like unthinking animals? That's right. A little here, a little there. And guess what? They're in here. And they're trying to sway their authority and bring destruction. Because the destructor is only happy when he's bringing destruction. They're everywhere, but so are we. The key is not to respond. Don't engage. The Bible is full in Proverbs about fools. You can't argue with a fool. What?
Or a drunk.
Yeah. Amen. So be careful of your cause. Is it really your cause? Or are you being used as a pawn by the enemy, not even knowingly that you're being used by the enemy? How do you know? By the fruit. Are you angry because somebody's trying to take your rights away? Are you feeling like, if I don't do something about this, it's going to be bad? Those are reactions of the flesh. In the prayer closet is where the strategies are released to win the enemy, which is unseen. He's using pawns. We all have the armor of God. The blessed plate of righteousness is important for the day we're in right now. It guards the heart. Now, I know we all have issues of the heart. Hello, we were born into this planet Earth. We've had woundings. This is the time. Deal with the woundings. Deal with the triggers that are causing you to coil or recoil and react to what's going on in the natural. Now, I'm saying that, and I'm hearing it for the first time myself. So listen, you can bet I'm going to do this. These are strategies being released from heaven for us to walk in the season that we're in. If I find myself responding, okay, let's just go there. How many of you received 7,000 YouTube videos in the last week? I'm exaggerating, but didn't it feel like 7,000? How many of you watched them all? Pray you didn't. Hallelujah. Listen, that stuff is breeding. It's propaganda breeding fear. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's designed to pull you out of your position in the secret place. Truthfully. When you get one of them, Lord, should I open this? Guard your eyes because they're attached to your emotions, which will spin you out of control and take you out of the secret place. Going on. So, they're like unthinking animals. They do whatever their instinct tells them, and so they bring about their own destruction. Now, I can't help but think about a circumcised heart. Every one of you in here has a circumcised heart. You can't not know when God tugs on it and says, oh, I got to deal with that. Because you're not being led by your own lusts. You're in the working it out process, which is a good thing. One of the strategies of the enemy is to point his finger, and he'll use somebody to point a finger and say, you haven't dealt with that yet? You're still working on that? Because then what happens is he engages you. And no, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Don't dialogue with the enemy. Chatter, 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 chatter. That's what they're designed to do. It's to keep you out of your position and your destiny. And it's also designed to stop you from fulfilling your place in the kingdom, your brick, your spot, because we're all being built up together. So we know sorrow awaits them, for they follow in the footsteps of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money. Oh, do we even want to go there? And like Korah, they perished in their rebellion. We know more than you, Moses. Oh, yeah? There's a lot of authority going on right now, a lot of authority bumping and checking. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I don't get an opinion. I serve the King of Kings, and I take my orders from him. Now, do I pay taxes? Yes. Do I do everything in the natural? Yes. But I don't allow that to supersede or take first place. Because when I do, I'm in flesh mode, and it's going to bring destruction. We're in the hour. I'll keep going. When these people eat with you in their fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, they are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. Pass the gravy. Oh, you're the one? Worm. Yeah. What these people eat... Oh, I'm sorry. When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals, you know, I can't say that word. What is it? Commemorating. The Lord's love. They are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. You ever been in a boat and hit a reef? You don't see it coming. It's hidden. It's hidden. The reefs will cut you up if you're down there. They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. They are like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They are like trees in autumn that are doubly dead, for they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. They are like wild waves of the sea churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. They are like wandering stars doomed forever to the blackest darkness. Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all ungodly things they have done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Notice it doesn't say against you. Slave to Jesus Christ. Co-laborer. He must increase, I must decrease. Right there, why do you want to be used by God? You know, I want to walk in the giftings of the Lord. Why? Ask yourself why. So you can be seen of man? Can you be looked up to? Or because you care about the broken and the lost? God convicted me many years ago. We come in selfish, but we go low so he can go higher. We yield. We're vessels purified for his good pleasure. We're set on his shelf, and when he wants to use us, he grabs that piece and uses. Sometimes some of you have been set on a shelf and haven't been used yet. Just wait. There's no dust in heaven. There isn't. Here we go. So, they're going to convict the ungodly sinners, everything that was spoken against him. These people are grumblers and complainers. Living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. You want me to keep going? I was used mightily, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you're so anointed. Both. P.U. They'll both crash and burn. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. And then I'm like, Lord, check my heart. Check my heart. Check my heart. When scandals happen in the church and the big stuff and the big churches and all this ungodliness is exposed, Lord, check my heart. I don't want to bring reproach on your kingdom. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause anybody to stumble. And I don't know if I'm capable, but I know you are through me. Strengthen my frame. Here we go. My favorite part. A call to remain faithful. That's us. But you, my dear friends, hey friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. Spoke. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. So I'm just going to say, we have to be careful about our ungodly desires. We need to die to our ungodly desires. And how do we do that? You show up. Lord, what are we working on today? Oh, I'm struggling with this. Crucify me. Crucify this thing. I lay it on the altar. I'm taking the great exchange. And then you blow it. Here I am again. And then one day you're like, wow, I'm not struggling with that anymore. Thank you, Lord. Always glorify the King because you didn't do it. He did it. Here we go. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. What? What's that? That's the heavenly language that you got when you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is power in tongues. Exercise your tongues often. It'll strengthen your spiritual frame. And I don't have time. Oh, really? Did you have time to be on the phone all the way here catching up with your friend? Or did you pray in tongues? Oh, you're doing laundry? Oh, pray in tongues. Oh, you're dusting? You must not be in heaven. Pray in tongues till you get there. Okay, here we go. So, we're going to build each other up with our most holy faith, glorifying Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. Key! Wait a minute. How do we keep ourselves safe? In God's love. Sure. I'm going to read the whole thing. Not the whole thing, but you know. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. So, build up the body instead of tear it down. I don't like that service. I don't like that preacher. She wears this. She doesn't wear that. Ooh, we go in there. Their technology's better. You should be doing it this way. You think that doesn't happen? And then we say, Lord, what do you say? What do you? Should we do that? Lord, what are you saying? See, take it to the Lord. Okay, here we go. So we're going to build each other up. You can do it. Come on, you can do it. I know you can. You got a good heart. You can do it. I'm going to pray right now for you. Lord, I bless her in the name of Jesus. I ask you to strengthen her and equip her and encourage her and keep her strong in her faith in Jesus' mighty name. Built her up. Was that hard? It was fun. Okay, so we're building each other up. We're praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. I could spend an hour there, but I won't. So pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's got this. He knows the beginning from to the end. He's got this. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. Safe in the tornado cloud. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. And you must show mercy for those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Now, why would we want to do that? How does that work? Let me tell you. Mercy comes from Jesus. People have gifts of mercy and compassion. When God gives you, He knows the hearts of everyone. When He puts somebody on your heart, you now have an assignment to pray for them. Without judgment, and you pray for them, and if you are to snatch them and rescue them from the fire or the flames of judgment, you do it with caution for two reasons. So you don't get burned. It's very easy to fall into temptation when it's a work of the flesh. But when it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the boldness and the love of Jesus Christ, you can speak a word or give a touch or share a truth and they're ready for it. He knows when people are ready to be delivered. You know, okay, let's do that. Anybody know a spouse or a friend that needs some deliverance and it hasn't happened yet? Whose time frame are you on? Yours or God's? Let's just show a little mercy. Well, where do we get that? Lord, why haven't you done this yet? Lord, they should be free by now. They've been in you know, coming to services. They've been saved 1,000 years, and they're still being nasty and cruel. Oh, really? Are you showing judgment or mercy right there? What you do if you have this issue is you go to your prayer closet. You don't go to the person that needs deliverance. You go to your prayer closet and you build them up. You cheer them on. You can do this. Love conquers all. You can do this. I know you stumbled. I know this just happened, but I know God's bigger and he's going to work this through. Well, what if they don't want to? Lord, I'm believing for their deliverance. You go in the prayer closet and you just pray in the spirit until you get a release. And you may say a word and you may not. Sometimes it's just warfare going on, like little buzzing flies buzzing around their head, and they're swatting them and responding in the natural when really it's a spiritual battle. Win it by the spirit, not by correction and performance, because that stuff is short-lived. It's flesh. But transformation is what lasts. Who needed that? Okay, here we go. So we're cautious when we go in and pull somebody out of the flames so that we don't catch on fire. So if you're struggling in an area, God won't call you. Let's just say it. God won't call you into that close to the fire to rescue somebody because he doesn't want you to fall in. So check the heart, the motive of your heart. Is it something you desire, or is it God releasing his mercy and compassion and love? There's a big difference. We see a lot of people get in trouble because they think. I know this is not related, but some people think, well, I'm supposed to be married. I'm supposed to have a spouse. And so they start to believe the scriptures, or they'll start to believe a prophecy and they'll form it and tweak it, and they'll end up marrying some backslidden bar hanging outer. and they're thinking, well, I'm going to rescue him out of there. No, you're not. No, you're not. For one thing, did God tell you to do this? No, he didn't. But because of the emotional need in your heart, you chose to ignore God's mercy and love for your life, and you pushed through, banged through the into the enemy's camp, and was taken captive. Okay. Here we go. How about a prayer of praise? Getting too heavy? Now, all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and bring you with great joy into his gracious presence without a single fault. Thank you, Lord. I feel like we all should thank the Lord for that right now. All glory to him, who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time, and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. God is calling us. He's correcting. And if you are looking in the natural, that's where you're going to go. It's just the way it is. If you're looking in the spirit, that's just what you're going to release, because you his. He owns you. And so I feel like we just need to address a couple things that are happening, and so as to be aware and not be deceived or taken into captivity. We're going to see a lot of stuff. We've been talking about it. Lots of shaking. It's necessary. The wolves in sheep's clothing, we have to see who they are. God is bringing order to his church. God is bringing order to you. God is bringing order so that the bride will be spotless, because he's coming back. And he's not coming back for the flesh. He's coming back for the virgin, the one who filled their oil, the one who said, I know I got to deal with that, but five more minutes with you. I know that I got kids, and I know I got, all this stuff, but one more minute, just one. I'm just going to love on you, Lord. I'm just going to spend a little bit more time in your word. See, right now the world is screaming on both sides. Screaming. It's all noise. Now, some of you have an assignment that was given to you by God, and it's a governmental assignment. And you might be praying for America. You might be praying for officials. You might be praying for righteousness in the government systems. And I bless you, and I thank you. Some of you are called into the alleys, the bars, the back streets, the houses where there's no electric, and they're just, you know, squat houses. And you're going to go in as a beacon of light, and you're going to release the presence of the Holy One, and people are going to be unlocked. And you're going to snatch them out of the kingdom of darkness. I thank you. I thank Jesus for the call that he's put on your life. Now, I'm showing you two extremes. Some of you are worshipers created to worship Jesus in spirit and truth. Your assignment is like Anna in the temple. You attend to the needs of Jesus. I thank you, and I bless your assignment in the name of Jesus. Some of you are evangelists, and you release seeds to bring people and open them into the kingdom. I bless you, and I thank you. This is a season where we need to know who we are. Because as one, we're all knitted together. And we are the holy temple of God on earth. And if one starts to get a little weak or struggling, we feel that because we're as one. I'm telling you, the season that we're in is causing, he is doing it. He's causing the oneness of the body of Christ to come together. There is no more gray. We will know the worms. We will know them from the righteous. And so I challenge you tonight to ask the Holy Spirit. I ask him, what is your purpose? Why were you created? And don't be so quick. And it may change over the years as you grow in him, it'll change. You know, you might have been just an evangelist. Well, now you might be an evangelist who raises the dead. See, because as we go into him and become him, his gifts open in us. And we walk in more fruit and more gifting. Not because we deserve it, but because it opens, because it's a waterway. It's like a current. It's like a water that he just flows through. And the junk gets removed. Does that make sense? So, don't be afraid. Fear not, says the Lord. I am with you. Now, some of you, I say this pretty much every week, some of you need to shut your Facebook account down. It's causing you to stumble. You're reacting. It's taking your time where you should be in the presence of Jesus and studying his word and building your holy faith up. You're building up your fear in Facebook. Oh, I just have it because of the grandkids. I like to see the pictures. Well, really? How long do you have to look at the picture of the grandkids? It's been 3 hours. And guess what? You didn't even make it to their page yet. Justifiable. I'll do it later. Hey, you got any oil? I forgot to get my oil filled. Justifiable. I'll do it later. Can I borrow? I didn't spend enough time. Can I borrow some of your time that you got in God? Lay your hands on me. I'm looking to this minister because I need my breakthrough. Really? I thought everything was released through the cross. Be careful of idolatry. God will not. He cannot.
compete. In fact, he knocks them down. It's all through Scripture. Some of it's pretty hilarious. God is funny. So there's a shaking, but then there's the awakening. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in the awakening, but you can't get there until you go through the shaking. I think of the scripture in Matthew about our houses being on the foundation. You know, what are they made on? Sand? When the winds blow, hey, there goes a shingle. Hey, there goes a shutter. You know, I thought I had it together until everything shook and everything fell. But during that season, I kept saying, Lord, what are you doing? What do I do? And he'd tell me. And then there would be a brick, a foundational stone put in place. And pretty soon, there's nothing that can rock me. Nothing. Nothing. Because I've learned to shut my mouth before I respond, through much practice, by the way, of blowing it, with plenty of opportunities of all the nothings to hit me. And when I would not say a word and say, Lord, what are you saying? Most of the time he'd say nothing. And so I would not respond at that moment. And then I would find a time to sit with him and say, you got to give me a better strategy because I didn't handle this well. Even though I didn't speak it, I still am thinking it. Show me what's in my heart. And then he would allow me to see it. He doesn't hide stuff like that. He wants us free. So shake, shake, shake. All the idols are falling. Some of them are trying to resurrect. Holding on to you. Hit it with a hammer. Shakening, awakening, revival. We can't have revival without awakening. And right now the church is in awakening. Some are still in the shaking. Some are still, you know, worms hidden in there. But there's a remnant. The hungry ones that know him. That will not give in to the agenda of the enemy. How do you win a war? You declare truth. Start in your home before you take on a capital. We're going to see all kinds of stuff, friends. But I'm going to tell you something. God picked you for the time that you're in right now. How awesome is that? He's going to use you, O remnant, to speak life into the dark places, whether it's at the beauty salon, the health club. Now I'm talking Wisconsin because Illinois can't do that. I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Some are. Hallelujah. So the other thing I just feel like I need to share this last thing. I feel like it's important to fellowship. And I say that because it keeps us from getting squirrely. I love to spend time alone. I'm kind of like prefer that. But I've noticed most of the people can't handle not being social. And it's causing them to do stupid stuff. And so if you are feeling a little off balance, pick up the phone and call somebody you know who is strong in the Lord. And have a godly conversation, not a conversation about what's going on in the natural. What's God teaching you today? What I heard the scripture and I got to share it with you. Or, hey, you've been on my heart. How can I help you? What's going on in your life? How are you handling with all the kids at home at one time and your husband? What strategies has God given you? None. Oh, wait, I got a couple. Let me give them to you. See how it works together? So I'm just going to tell you, stand strong in him, not against the world, in him. Stand strong and you'll walk in victory. He will always show you the way to truth and you'll always be protected. Does that make sense? Any questions?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.